Give the Lord a high praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe we ought to praise him with all of our heart because he has done such great, great things for us. How many is glad? How many is glad to be serving the Lord tonight? How many is really glad that he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? Can we give the Lord a good hand clap of praise? Clap your hands, all ye people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. The song earlier said, I could never praise you enough. I could never thank you enough. You are so great. I could never praise you enough. I could never thank you enough. You are so great. Amen. And then the song said, my help cometh from the Lord. Can I get a witness here tonight? Anybody could say yes. You are so great. I could never thank you enough. I could never praise you enough. My help cometh from the Lord. Well, that's a message right there. Praise God, that we need to somehow embrace into our spirit and embrace into our heart here on Sunday night. Praise God. Good place to be in the house of the Lord, enjoying the presence of God and enjoying the fellowship of the saints of God. And I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry that I answered that gospel call. Amen. The song said, Jesus took my heavy load. Now I'm on the glory road. And I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry at all. I never heard of anybody that got the real Holy Ghost and got really born again of water and spirit that ever said, I wish I'd have put this off. I wish I'd have waited a little while. No, no, no. Everybody that gets the real deal, brother, and I don't say that disrespectful. Everybody that gets really born again said, I should have got here a long time ago. I should have got this a long time ago. I wish I'd have heard about this a long time ago. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen, amen, amen. We need to somehow convey to this world that this is the right way and that we are living the right life now. Praise God. Well, it's my honor to be with you today, and I've enjoyed being with you this morning and appreciate what we have enjoyed in this service tonight. And I trust, hope, pray the Lord would meet with us in the next little while, and that his word would somehow help us and quicken us in the areas of the spirit. Praise God. Thank you, Elder, for allowing me to be in this pulpit tonight, and thank the good saints of God for being here. God bless the faithful saints of God. And it takes that in every assembly across the land for us to continue in this good way. I want to direct you tonight, if you have your Bibles, we raised them up just a moment ago, and I invite you to take them in your hand again and join me in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and we're going to read beginning verse 17, a few verses going even into the first two verses of chapter 6. And then I feel also to read a portion in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, and verse number 3. Well, you're in an apostolic church tonight, Pentecostal experience tonight, and I'm just going to preach a little gospel. Anybody going to help me for a little bit? Yes. Amen. We're here together. Now, we might as well just work together and see what the Lord would have for us. Let's apply our hearts, our minds, and our attention to the word of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The apostle is writing to the church at Corinth. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, and everybody said, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. We could say through Jesus Christ, through the work, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ, whereby he hath reconciled us to himself and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is much the reason that this local assembly is in this city, and that God has assemblies and ministries in cities and places around the world, is because he has given to the church, he has given to the ministry and the church, the ministry of reconciliation. He explains, to wit, that God was in Christ, that is, that God was in Christ. This is the very essence of our reconciliation, is that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Aren't you glad that he is interested in reconciling, bringing peace to us with God? Amen. Reconciling us unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us. Here it is again, the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. He's wanting to talk to you through us. We pray you, we would beseech, we would implore you in Christ's stead. We're coming to bring Christ's message. We're coming to bring Christ's desire for reconciliation. We are here, as it were, in his place, in his stead. Be ye reconciled to God. That's salvation. That's new birth. That's getting peace with God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, chapter 6, as workers together with him, beseech you. Earlier in our reading, it mentioned that we are absolutely imploring you, as it were. We're begging you. And the writer said, now, we beseech you that you also, that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now, everybody said now. Yeah. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Notice, please, again, verse 1. I'm beseeching you with all the advantage, all of the blessing, all of the privilege of redemption. Do not receive it in vain. Hebrews chapter 2. Notice verse number 3. Very familiar area of our Bible. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, that is, the apostles. This great salvation was first spoken of by the Lord. Jesus began to speak about the redemption story, and then it was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, the apostles. This is the reason, brother and sisters, that we are apostolic. This is the reason why we are apostolic, and we are endeavoring to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Praise the Lord. This is a good message right here. This is the reason we're apostolic. This is the reason that we are, is because we have heard this from the Lord. We read the lessons Jesus brought us in the New Testament. We're looking at the apostles, the ones that heard him. I think I want to listen to them. The ones that heard him, the ones that walked and talked with him, the ones that initially received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the ones that he assigned and he commissioned. We want to hear from them that heard him concerning this so great salvation. Amen. And certainly we don't want to receive this grace, this favor of the redemption possibility. We don't want to let it slip through our hands. We don't want it to be in vain. Amen. And may the Lord bless our hearts to the receiving of his word. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. In Jesus' name, you can be seated. It was a blessed day when the Apostle Paul went to the city of Corinth. I have read quite extensively concerning the city of Corinth. It was one of the leading cities of that ancient world, but be that as it may, it was a evil city. There was a lot of commerce. There was a lot of success in that city as far as I'm sure business was concerned. I would imagine the architecture and the building of the city would have been quite impressive. But in reading about the city of Corinth, it was, along with all of that, it was a wicked place. It was an evil, evil place. That even while it looked successful in many, many areas, yet it was steeped in sin. Amen. There was all kinds of immorality, all kinds of false worship, all kinds of debauchery that lived and was practiced there in the city of Corinth. They needed saved. They needed delivered. They needed something to step into their life and into their heart that would convert them, that would absolutely change them. Tradition was there. Culture was there. Generation by generation, all of this sin going back generation by generation. They did it because everybody else did it. They lived that way because, well, that's all the way that they knew to live. Given to sin, given to the practice of sin and all the iniquity that goes with it. But one day, God in his mercy, God in his grace, sent a preacher to the city of Corinth with a saving, delivering message. He sent the Apostle Paul there to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. He sent him there to preach concerning the life, the death, the burial, and the ascension of the Lord Jesus. He sent him there with the message of new birth. He sent him there with the message of the cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, these noted passages that we have preached from and quoted from so very many times. Chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross. That was Paul's message. the preaching of the cross wrapped up in Jesus Christ and in the redemption work that was made possible through the cross. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. Later in this text, it would say, we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews. To the Jews, it's something that they stumble over. It's something that is a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, well, to the Greeks, to the Gentiles, it's foolishness. But Paul nonetheless said, I would know nothing among you. As far as I'm concerned, you could think that this is all I know. You could feel like this is all I can talk about. But I would know nothing among you save Jesus Christ. Save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. You Gentiles can laugh about it. You Jews can stumble over it. But unto us that believe, but to us that will hear the story, but to us that will believe the report. And it was Isaiah in chapter 53 of his writings that wrote that whole, to us, a beautiful chapter of our Lord Jesus, a direct prophecy concerning the man Christ Jesus and the work of the Savior. And it started with saying, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He went on, and some have said that the 53rd chapter of Psalms, or rather Isaiah, it would seem like that the writer was bowing at the foot of the cross. It was such a direct reference and such great words concerning the crucifixion, led as a lamb to the slaughter. He's talking about Jesus. Amen. The chastisement of our peace being laid upon Him. He's talking about Jesus, the one who would bear our sins and our iniquities. He's talking about Jesus. 700 years before, amen, the virgin was conceived of the Holy Ghost. God seen His redemptive plan. Even before the foundation of the world, God knew what the plan was going to be. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Let me pause right here and just tell you. If you want the arm, if we want the arm, if we want the strength of God to be revealed, the arm of the Lord in Scripture always symbolized the strength, the power, the deliverance of God. If we want that to be revealed, hey, we've got to believe the report. We've got to believe the story about Jesus and the cross. We've got to believe that He was the propitiation for our sin. We've got to believe the report that He is the only Redeemer, the only Savior. Come on here. Amen. The arm of the Lord is to be revealed, and it has been revealed to those and only those that would believe the report. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. That preaching, the preaching of Christ, the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. Because and through the fact that we embrace it and we believe it. Praise God. The Apostle Paul in his epistles had so much to say. Yeah, he was a Jesus preacher. He was a salvation preacher. He was a preacher of a life-changing message. And it was this message that he brought to the city of Corinth. Later, he would write back to them and speak to them and enlighten them of the beauty of salvation. Oh, I love this book. Oh, I love the book. No reason to ever get bored with the Word of God. No reason to ever get bored with church. I've had 50 years and more looking into this book. Amen. Preaching from this Bible. And it still excites me. It still thrills me. The message of the death, the burial, the resurrection, the message of the Redeemer, the message of how he who knew no sin became sin for us. No, he wasn't a sinner. No, there was no sin in him, but he became the sin sacrifice. He became the one that the sins of the world was laid upon him. He became the one that would appease the righteousness of the eternal God. He became the one who would pay the price for us, that we wouldn't have to pay the price. We couldn't have paid the price. Amen. We could each one of us be nailed to a cross. We could be hoisted up between heaven and earth. But our blood would never save us. Amen. Our death would never save us. It took that God man. It took the man Christ Jesus. It took that pure and holy sacrifice to be indeed the sacrifice for sin. Can I get a witness here tonight? Hallelujah. In the book of Romans, I don't know. It may sound like a Wednesday night Bible class here, and don't get nervous. I'm not going to stay long, but in the book of Romans, what a beautiful book of our Bible and a great book of theology as concerning the message of Christ, the cross, and redemption and deliverance. And the writer would say in the book of Hebrews, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Listen, "or scarcely, for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die." What's this? "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, being more, much more than being now justified." And this is the only way that we can be justified before the righteousness of God, is by his blood. Hallelujah. We shall be saved from wrath through him. "For if when we were enemies," we were, here's this word. The apostle loved this word. This was the message. Indeed, it is the message of the gospel. Amen. "If when we were enemies, we were reconciled." I read that word to you in 2 Corinthians. I'm reading it to you again in the book of Romans. The great message of reconciliation. We are reconciled by the death of his son. Much more being, here it is again, reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Later in chapter 5, let me hurriedly mention this, and I would encourage you that are interested in a deeper revelation and understanding of the work of the cross, I would encourage you later tonight, tomorrow, or very soon to read the rest of the 5th chapter. The rest of the 5th chapter of the book of Romans. But the condensed version, if you will, is this. It tells us about one man that brought sin into the world, and death was the penalty, and death by sin, death because of sin. Paul goes into detail. He's talking about Adam. He's talking about the first man, Adam. He's talking about the first man, Adam. And Adam transgressing. Adam and Eve stepping into trespass and rebellion and disobedience against God. And Paul explains, because of Adam's sin, sin was imputed and passed to all generations by him and through him. How many is going to stay with me just a little bit here tonight? Amen. Paul was simply saying, this man Adam got you in trouble. Amen. Sin came into the world. Death by sin. Death was passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Adam's transgression become inherent sin. From there on, generation to generation, the condemnation, the heavy load of transgression. Adam, that chapter of Romans, my. I hang up here because when I got a hold of this in my own experience, it helped enlighten me concerning the glory and the beauty of this so great salvation. Paul went on to say, yes, by one man sin entered into the world. By one man's offense, death has reigned. Amen. By one man's disobedience, all of this came. But thank God he didn't stop there. Thank God he didn't stop there. Amen. He pointed his finger and he lifted his voice and put pen to paper and wrote to the Romans, by one man came life. Hallelujah. Let me just give you the short version. Adam got you in trouble. The first man, Adam, got you in trouble. Jesus come to get you out of trouble. Jesus come to get you out of condemnation. Jesus come to be the deliverer. Jesus come to be the mediator. Jesus come to be the reconciler. This is a big subject and I've got a short time. But the marvel and the mystery, amen, of godliness, the great message of Christ and the cross. And even again this afternoon, after so many years of looking into this subject and attempting to stand before congregations and speak about our good blessed Lord, I was thrilled once again to remind myself, yeah, Adam got us in trouble, and thereby and thereafter all are born in sin. All were shapen in iniquity. But there was a God. There was a God when we were yet sinners. Hallelujah. When we were without strength. Didn't I read it to you? Is it all right if we preach the Bible tonight? Is it all right if we take a little time to look into this so great salvation? Oh, hallelujah. That has to somehow get a hold of an individual. There's a way out of my sin. There's a way to be delivered. This is a great thing. This is a glorious thing. And I'm going to tell you, that's what gets somebody in. Can I remind you? It's going to take an understanding of a great salvation that's going to keep us saved. It's going to keep us walking the straight and narrow. Amen. That will cause us to enter into his gates. Yes, with thanksgiving. It will cause us, yes, to enter into his courts and with praise. It'll cause us to bless his name. Amen. It's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? If our revelation of salvation and our measure of its greatness is determined, amen, by our praise Oh, it is quiet tonight. If our praise is a barometer or a thermometer of our measure, of our feelings about, come on here, about salvation. Oh, hallelujah. I still remember as a young boy being around the church and watching even the aged saints when their strength was not as it one time was and their energy was not as it one time was. I still remember them. I could call their name. You wouldn't know them, but they're forever etched in my memory and they're in my heart. Some of them having lived for God at that time for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Some of those ones that were around me when I, as a 9-year-old boy, received the Holy Ghost. I listened to them testify. I watched them sing. I seen warm, hot tears running down their face. 30 years later, amen, it was as though they were saying, it's still a great salvation. 40 years later, it was as though they were saying, it's still a great salvation. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Oh, give the Lord a good hand clap of praise here tonight. I'm so glad. This is still a great salvation. You can be seated. One man said it like this. He said, I've never got over being saved. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, take a nap, but don't fall out of the seat. Amen. I never got over being saved. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock. I never got over it. Never got past it. Amen. I remember years ago, Elder, hearing Elder Tommy Jackson, he made a statement that has rung in my spirit. He said something like this. He said, I get weary with trying to convince some folks that they got a good deal when they found the church. Well, I'm going to preach till I'm done here tonight. Amen. He said, we're having to spend far too much time still trying to prop some folks up and help them to feel like they still got a good situation. No, 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 no. I guess if I had a title tonight, I didn't have one in my notes, but I think I just found one. Hallelujah. Amen. It's still a great salvation. It's still a great salvation. It's still a great salvation. Can I get a witness here tonight? Can I get a witness here tonight? It's still right to live right. It's still a good life living for the Lord. I've been delivered. I told you this morning I'm a better singer than I am preacher. You can be seated. I've been delivered. The hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. That's a song. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. I've been blessed through the years to be in fellowship with some what I believe and know are some of God's greatest and some of God's best preachers and laity alike, preachers and saints alike. Amen. I've listened to them preach, the preachers, and listened to them teach camp meetings, conferences, such like, revivals. Some of them, when I heard them, had been in the church 50 years. They'd already been saved 50 years. But you know what? Listening to them preach, talking with them in their living rooms, talking and visiting, driving down the road with them in their automobiles, you could feel it. It was bleeding through. You could feel it. Amen. There was still that humility. I heard some of them preach about getting up at night as teenagers and young boys in their home, and they never knew who'd be laying around, passed out, drunken on alcohol, stepping over bodies to try to find the front door. They talked about their family members bootlegging whiskey out of the bathtub. Yeah. Amen. We found out, some of them told us and later would tell in their older years, riding trains, living in hobo camps. Some of them would tell us about even having stints of imprisonment. And some of the greatest, biggest, baddest prisons in the U.S. And when I heard some of that, Elder, I said, no. Something in me said, not that one. Not that one. Amen. And yet I would hear them preach. And there was a heart for the lost. There was a compassion for the sinner. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you why. Because this great salvation had a grip. It had a hold. Hallelujah. Some of them, let me just talk a little bit tonight. Some of them that made their way through denominationalism until they made their way because of the hunger. Oh yeah, God's got it if you want it. God's got it if you want it. And they went here and they went there and they read in the scripture and there was revelation and enlightenment and God orchestrated events. How many believe he can? He let them meet the right people at the right time. How many believe he can? God guided them and directed them. And they made acquaintance with the right people at the right time. And greater understanding began to open up. And somebody explained to them the way of God more perfectly. Oh, praise the Lord. Somebody began to lead them. This is how they baptized in the first century. Look here. This is the baptismal formula that was used by them that heard him. Look here, when they got the Holy Ghost in the Bible, look, they spake with tongues. Look here, it's holiness without which no man. Look here. Oh yeah. Well, I didn't mean to back up to Sunday morning. Amen. But if you want it, God's got it. Well, praise the Lord. And we're people that still want to believe that in Nacogdoches and around this area, there might still be somebody. Let me take a little detour here. There might be somebody that's doing all they know to do. Living all that they know to live. And they need somebody to come along. Hallelujah. With a great salvation. They need somebody to step into their world. Amen. That is still thrilled about being saved. They need somebody that has looked into the perfect law of liberty. Amen. They need somebody that has studied the apostles' doctrine, that's still excited about the message. That's still able to say, look, Adam got us all in trouble. We're all born in sin. We're all shapen in iniquity. We all are born in need of redemption. There is the reality of what we could call inherent sin. Sin, Pastor, read that 5th chapter of Romans. I challenge you. If you get in that 5th chapter, you'll step away with a greater appreciation for this so great salvation. Adam got us in trouble. Jesus come to get us out of trouble. Amen. The first man, Adam, was of the earth, earthy. But the second man, Adam, was the Lord from glory. Hallelujah. And so the angel would say, thou shalt call his name Jesus. This is bottom line. For he shall save his people from their sin. In essence, the angel was saying, the reconciler is on the way. The peacemaker is on the way. The wrath of God is hanging over the head of the whole human race. I keep repeating it, but it bears repeating. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. The condemnation and the curse of sin. And all the wrath that would lay in store. But I read it to you. We're saved from wrath through him. We have obtained peace through the blood of his cross. Well, I'm preaching truth here tonight. I'm preaching gospel here tonight. And Jesus would tell those apostles, go ye into all the world. And he said, there's a couple things that are now going to be made available. He said, in my name, you're going to be able to preach forgiveness and remission of sin. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Two things that had evaded the human family. But there's going to be forgiveness after a while. There's going to be remission. Removal. And for so many years, so many lambs were offered up, but they could never take away and remit. It would be rolled ahead for another year, and yet another lamb, and yet another sacrifice, and yet another time that the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. But that New Testament writer, I know I'm covering some ground here, and I don't want to confuse anybody. I pray the Lord would give a greater enlightenment than we have ever had. One day, the great high priest came. Woo! When the Hebrew writer of the book of Hebrews referenced the high priest of our profession, he said he's not just a high priest, but he is the great high priest. Amen. By one sacrifice, what's this? This is book. One sacrifice for sin forever. Forever. And after he ascended on high, Hallelujah. He ever liveth to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Jesus came on a mission because of sin. Adam got us in trouble. Jesus said, "Lo, I come, and the volume of the book, it's written of me." Hallelujah. And one day he would tell his disciples, "Take drink. This is the blood of the new covenant. This is the blood of the New Testament." Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's more than just a song, and I love singing. It's more than just emotion, and we need some emotion. But oh, friend of mine, when you sink your teeth into the meat of God's word, when you look in to this great salvation, when you take note and study the wonders of Calvary and the cross, there in that cross, Gentiles, you can laugh at it. Jews, you can stumble over it. But the weakness of God is stronger than men. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. And though ever how humble it might be, hallelujah, that body on that cross and that blood that was shed. Yeah, John Baptist, you had it right. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away, that taketh away the curse of Adam, that taketh away the power of inherent sin, and that makes a way. Yeah, and I'm hurrying to a close. It's still a great salvation. And that night with Nicodemus, you know, the Lord chose to give some of the greatest truths at some of the strangest times and even to the strangest people. You wouldn't have quite connected it that way. For instance, it was that woman in Samaria, you remember? That Jesus spoke to by the well. She was a woman of, it looked like a bad history. But yet it's in that setting that that beautiful verse is found. John 4:24. That rings out like a trumpet. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I find it, it's just me now. I know I got a little twisted, I guess. Thank you for no amens. But I think a little. I think of all places and to all people to unfold one of the greatest truths. Well, yeah. Yeah. The third chapter of John is another strange happening. Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus by night. It's my feeling that didn't quite want anybody to see him hanging out over here. It would seem like he was, "I don't want the big boys to catch me talking to him. I come by night." Well, you got your opinion, that's mine, okay? And I just happen to be right, that's all. Oh, forget that. Hey, come to him by night! And it's to this man, at this setting, that he gives what is in Scripture the only place in the Gospels where it is expressed like this. Jesus just said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God." And then, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit." Hey, it's still a great salvation. I don't want to hurt anybody, and I'm not here to insult anybody,
But there's nothing wrong with some of us old saints. And I say that respectfully because I are one. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with us who have sat in a Pentecostal church for years. Everybody love me? Are we friends? Okay, I'll take my chance. Nothing wrong for us, old seasoned apostolics. There may not be nothing out there in the world that really is pulling on us. May not, thank God, it doesn't have a hold on us. I've been delivered. The hold the devil had on me. Well, I'm back to singing. No, it's preaching time. But there's nothing wrong. You want to keep the shout? You want to keep victory? You want to keep enjoying church? You want to keep excited about your walk with God? I want to admonish us here tonight. Take another look at the cross. Take another look at Calvary. I want to encourage us to get our nose in our Bible. Amen. And we'll come away saying, there's no escape. How shall we escape? This great salvation is the only exit ramp. This great salvation, Christ, the cross, the new birth, death, burial, resurrection. Nothing wrong with going back and connecting. No disrespect, but connecting the dots. Old Testament prophecies, New Testament fulfillment. Hallelujah. Old Testament prophecies of redemption, New Testament fulfillment. Old Testament paving the way to the new. Connecting the dots. Getting the picture. And the more you pray over it, the more you read about it, the more you want it. Yeah, God's got it. Bigger vision, greater understanding. Everybody needs to go back to school and stay in the student's desk and say, God, it's still, and I ask you, is it still a great salvation? That's what's going to influence your neighbors. That's what's going to influence your witness. That's what's going to shine through. Is when you have that vibrant heart and somebody looks on and somebody listens on and says, they are sold on this business. They are a satisfied customer. Woo! All right. Yeah. Nothing wrong with going back and looking at it. And Jesus said, to get into this, you got to get past your natural birth. You got to get past the birth that is traced back to your father, Adam, and your mother, Eve. You must be born again. And that word, according to many, could be interpreted above, from above. Born again could be interpreted born from above. And Nicodemus, and I know this is ABCs for Pentecost, but we better not get too far away from this. I said we better not get too far away from this great salvation. Yeah. Nicodemus, he's like, well, any natural man, born again. How is it after a man is old, born again? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And I'm going to hurry now. Thank you for no hallelujahs, but I am going to hurt. born again, going back into your, born again, 5 foot three, 5 foot six, 6 foot, born again. And Jesus said, that's when he brought in this business of water and spirit. And somebody said, well, that birth of the water is when the water breaks in natural birth. Oh, Nicodemus, you're still stumbling, aren't you? He ain't talking about that. That water that Jesus talked about isn't that. That's not, he's talking about another kind of birth. He's talking about another kind of process. You got to connect the dots. You got to get the picture. Born from above, not of the natural lineage, not of the earthly manners, not by human means, but born from above, born from heaven. Through Christ the cross. I know we've covered some ground here tonight. I hope it hasn't been confusion, but I would hope that God could use this humble effort, stumbling as it may be, to cause us to get in our Bibles like never before. I'm not saying you don't know the truth. I'm not saying you don't love the truth. But I'm going to tell you, I went to the eye doctor last week and I got me some new lenses. Yeah. Now he's telling the old man, I'm getting cataracts. Now don't sit there and act like you never heard that word. It's kind of like a dear lady I used to pastor years ago. She was kind of a country girl. And she told me one time, I went to pay her a visit and somehow was talking to her. Maybe it was at church. And she said it. She said, I got some new glasses, Elder. I said, you did, Sister Nellie, you did. I said, well, they're pretty. They look good on you. They're nice. She said, they don't have too much medicine in them. That old country girl, she said, they don't have too much medicine in them. Well, I thought it was funny anyhow, so. I went back, and he said, well, we're going, and his words were, we're going, and maybe I'm wrecking this little sermon here tonight, but I'm just going to take my liberty. He said, we're going to have to tweak it a little bit. I said, tweak. Oh, okay, you're going to have to change it. He said, yeah, we're going to have to, and I think old Sister Nellie, he's saying, you got to get some more medicine, boy. You're going to have to get some. Tune up on the look up. You're going to have to get some tune up on the outlook. He said your vision is getting, them cataracts is slipping up on you. I'm bringing up a bad subject here. Forgive me. I wasn't planning on this. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Well, somehow I just feel good about what I'm doing here tonight. Hey, in this late day, when there's doctrines of men, doctrines of devils, in this late day, some are compromising the fundamentals, backing up on the rudimentary, foundational truth. We need to say, God, put some medicine in my vision. God, give me some new spiritual lenses. God, amen. If I spend my time and my interest looking at this great salvation, I won't be looking out there. I won't be seduced from out there. Out there is not going to attract me. Out there. And God, if that one leaves and if that one fails and the other one backs up, God, I still see it. I still see it. And I see it clearer. And it's nearer than it's ever been in my life. Let's stand in the house today. Everybody, would you lift your hands? Everybody, could you lift your voice? Come on, I've been hollering for the last hour. Would you turn the volume up a little bit? Would you turn the volume up a little bit? Hallelujah. Could you say, I'm so glad? Oh, praise his name. Praise his name. And now I have Jesus on the inside. I have Jesus on the inside. Working on the outside. I'm a new creature. Let's sing something and give God some praise around the house.
I've been delivered.
Oh, yeah.
I've been delivered.
Put your hands together.
The hold the devil had on me. He ain't got no more. I've been delivered.
Sing it unto the Lord.
I've been delivered. Delivered.
Lift
by
your
the
voice
hand
and
of
praise.
The Lord. I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
The hold the devil had on me. He ain't got no more. I've been delivered.
Sing it unto the Lord.
By the hand of the Lord.
Yes,
I've been delivered.
Delivered.
I've been delivered.
Oh, hold the devil hand on me.
He ain't got no more. I've been delivered.
Woo.
I've been delivered. Delivered by the hand of the Lord.
Yes,
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
The devil had on me. He ain't got no more. I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
Yeah.
By the hand of
Come
the
on,
Lord.
Come on, clap your hands
I've
and sing it to the Lord.
I've been delivered. Behold, the devil had on me. He ain't got no more. I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered. Delivered by the hand of the Lord.
Whoa. Are you glad?
I've been delivered. The hold the devil had on
Are
me.
You glad?
He ain't got no more. I've been delivered. I've been delivered.
Are you glad?
Delivered by the hand of the Lord.
Yes, I've been delivered.
I've been delivered. The hold the devil had on me. He ain't got no more. I've been delivered.
Been delivered.
I've been delivered. Delivered by the
well,
hand of
a shout out of my
I've been delivered.
It ought to bring a shout out of my heart.
Hold the devil had on me. He ain't got no more. I've been delivered.
Been delivered.
I've been delivered. Delivered by the hand of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Move around, shake hands with somebody and say, let's keep going on for the Lord. Move around, shake some hands and say, I'm glad that the Lord saved me. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Find somebody else and say, let's share this message.
I'm going home to Jesus.
Let's tell somebody else. Let's reach somebody else. Let's find somebody else. Woo! Yes, yes. I've been delivered. Sing it again, once again.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered. The hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. Delivered by the hand of the Lord. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. Hold the devil had on me. He ain't got no more. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. Delivered by the hand of the Lord. Jesus healed the blind man, made him see. Cast demons out of the man from Gadarenes. He cleansed a leper too, and he made the lame brand new. Hold that kid a homeless life. I testify to you, I've been delivered. I've been delivered. The hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. Delivered by the hand of the Lord. He saved a man I know that's close to death. He gave a boy with asthma back his breath. The best miracle to see is went from Christ and he set you free. You know when he set you free, you are free indeed. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. The hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. Delivered by the hand of the Lord. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. The hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. Delivered by the hand of the Lord.
Would you celebrate what God's done for you? Come on, celebrate what God's done. Kind of like that little maverick that I see when I go to Tyler. I go through New Summerfield. I go to Troop, White House in that direction. And on the side of the road underneath the little carport, right next to the road, is a green Maverick, Ford Maverick, old. And there's a big sign that says, not for sale. I'm not for sale. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God and my body and spirit, which is his. Not for sale. God brought me, bought me, paid the price. The treasure of treasures. The greatest thing in my life is what God has done. Don't you treasure what God's doing? Hallelujah. It's I want to say, my old pastor used to say this all the time. It's like that little boy getting that taste of a honeycomb. And the more he chewed, he said, it gets gooder and gooder. Hallelujah. You're thankful for that today? It gets sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. My. It just feels good to feel God. Amen. I challenge you, get your Bible. Amen. Read Romans, the 5th chapter. Read the book of Romans this week.
Yeah.
Amen. Also, amen, we wage war. Amen. Against the forces of the enemy.
Yeah.
Amen. I want you to help me this week. Amen. I want you to find 5 this week.
Yes.
Just, amen. If some of you are like me, I'll take 5 a day.
All right.
Amen. But find 5. 5 different people. And you connect with them. Amen. And tell them about Jesus Christ in your life. Testify. Encourage. Make an invitation to them. Amen. A challenge to them. 5. Amen. When I get upset and I have things happen in my life, I'll say, that's 5, devil. And I go find 5 people to talk to. But tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen. We read it within the things of God in this hour. We're so blessed. Amen. Sandra. Good to have you today.
Amen.
Amen. In both services. My. So blessed. Amen. We met Sandra some time ago. We're so honored that she's with us tonight. God has great things, Sandra. And it just gets better and better and better. The more I get of the Lord, the more the things of God comes alive in my life. Amen. I am privileged. What God has done, you know, and this is not just me. But God is personal to every one of us. When we let God be God in our lives. Amen. Praise God. Thank the Lord today. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. For obeying the Holy Ghost in these services. Amen. Let me let you know. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand. Now, this month, just give you a little forecast of this month. We will be letting you know about the Christmas banquet with the menu, the agenda, all that. I have a meeting scheduled Tuesday, and I will be doing that. We'll try to figure out everything. Also, that's the Thursday before Christmas is our Christmas banquet. And this year, Christmas Eve is on the 24th. That's a Sunday. What we will do Sunday morning, we will have just a simple time. If your family's gone somewhere, we understand. But those of you that are here and at home, we're going to come and we're going to have a time where we just a special, nothing big, nothing long, but a time just together and just worship the Lord. Just that Sunday morning, Sunday night, nothing. We want you to spend time with your family. We're not taking from family, but we're bringing family together. You have family members, they're welcome to come. It's not a big push, but it's just a solemn time of honor to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. Do I believe in all the commercial part of Christmas? I don't. Not the commercial part. Amen. I don't do the Santa, and I don't do all that mess. Amen. Because all the lies that involve it. There's only one that knows everything. It's Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. But I do. Wise men still seek the Savior, don't they? Amen. I want to come and honor Jesus Christ and make sure that you remember the reason why we do this. Do I believe Jesus was born the 25th of December? I do not. But that's okay. Our nation has put this aside to say, let's honor.
Right.
And friend, if a nation has given us that liberty,
all right,
and we don't take advantage of it, something to take it from us. They're already trying to steal it. Amen. So take advantage by honoring with your family. Amen. Also, we'll let you know more about the Christmas Bank, but the 17th on a Sunday, Brother Caleb Morgan will be with us Sunday morning and Sunday night. Brother Morgan's a young evangelist from Sulphur, and this young man's going to be with us, and we're going to make it that night. I want our young people, that's going to be emphasized for you. They're a young couple. They've just been married just a little bit. Brother Caleb's been here in Bible quizzing, and he was the coach. His wife is on the team, and we're going to have a great service together. But that's way along. That's still a bunch of days ahead. But I want you this month to make good, sensible choices to consecrate your God, consecrate to your God, and walk with Him this week, this month, amen, every day by thanking Him for what He's done for you and what He's doing. God bless you tonight. Let's grow to heaven. How?
Together.
Would you greet somebody in Jesus' name before you dismiss, before you go, and tell them there's no God like our God. Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.